A good special number. Take your Bible, please, with me this morning and turn to the book of Romans in your New Testament, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And of course, we are looking forward, I think all of us, to the holiday time that we'll spend together this week. We'll have a great time with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is actually one of my favorite holidays. Romans chapter 1, you're turning in your Bible there. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. Because of the food feature, of course, that is a major part of all American holidays, but I especially enjoy Thanksgiving time and all the different things. And Thanksgiving time, though, let me encourage you about this, is not a time, ladies, to try something new, okay? It is a time to try the tried and true. Don't try something new because that could destroy everything, but I know you're going to have a wonderful time. But really, the key in Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful as an American for this holiday, but the key is our thankfulness to God for His goodness. And throughout the reading of Scripture, we find, especially in the epistles of Paul, his continually giving thanks. He says, I give thanks, and then he'll list the things for which he's thankful. Those are not merely introductory words, but that was a pattern, a habit of life in the Apostle Paul to give thanks to God, to realize that the good things that he enjoyed in life were not things that were merely brought about by his own creativity or his own industry, but they were things that came from the very hand of God. Now, this past Wednesday night, I was speaking to our Awana Club, the young people in Awana, and as part of my message on Wednesday night, I asked the young people to tell me things that they were thankful for. And a lot of them said that they were thankful for food, and I said, amen. And some of them said they were thankful for their house, and some of them said they were thankful for their teachers, and some of them said they were thankful for their salvation. Well, amen to that, thankful for salvation. A number of the young people said this, that they were thankful for their parents, for the people that God had providentially brought into their lives, mom and dad. And they said they were thankful from their heart for a good mom and dad, for the parents that they had, people providentially brought into their life. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want you to see the emphasis of Paul's thanksgiving in Romans 1 verse 8. Paul said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Just as some of the young people were thankful for their parents, those whom God had providentially brought into their life, so the Apostle Paul says to the Roman Christians, I thank God for you all. You Christians at Rome, I am thankful for the providential contact that I have enjoyed with you, for the fact that you are a part of my life, indeed a part of my ministry. First, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So he thanked God for them. He prayed to God for them. Verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He intended to visit them. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. In this, what most would consider an introductory portion of Scripture in the book of Romans, Paul emphasized his thankfulness for people. His thankfulness for people. Now, I understand today that as an American citizen, there are many things we have to be thankful for. And by the way, as Americans, if we'll pause to think, I spoke to the Bestiers Fellowship Group, if we'll pause to think, we all have it better than most of the people in the world. Well, Pastor, you haven't seen my bank account. Most of the world does not even have a bank account. Well, Pastor, my car broke down this week. Most of the world doesn't even have a car to break down. If you think about it, even though you're probably faced with some kind of minor crisis, we all are, don't we? We go through those on a regular basis. We are better off than most of the people in the world. Have you ever thought about this? You, as an individual, I'm talking about everybody in this room. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make or how much money your parents make or how poor you are. You live better than the Pharaoh of Egypt. Well, wait a minute, preacher. How can that be? The Pharaoh had more money. Yes, but the Pharaoh did not have hot running water. Well, if he did, a servant heated up and ran to go get it. It certainly wasn't convenient. You live better than the pharaohs of Egypt. You say, preacher, how do you know? The pharaoh didn't have a flush toilet. Think about that for a moment, ladies. My husband hasn't been a very good provider. Well, he's provided that. You live better than the pharaohs of Egypt. I live better than the Caesar. Why, the Caesar had a chariot. I have a Chevy. Chariot runs better sometimes. But I'm simply saying we're the most blessed people on the face of the earth, aren't we? When you think about it, we really are. And people of a former era, and I'm not talking about just one particular era, but really in this history of this world, we're a blessed people. And we're thankful for that. We should be. And oftentimes at Thanksgiving, we focus on the material blessings that God has given. And there's nothing wrong with that because we should be thankful for all of those things. But I want you to focus with me this morning on something a little different. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God for you, for people, for the people that were brought providentially into His life. And there are several things I want you to think about, because here's the bottom line. People will live somewhere forever. The things that I have for which I'm thankful, they will one day be gone. These things will one day be gone. This suit will wear out, or I will grow out of it. I'm afraid I'll grow out of it before I wear out of it. This suit will be gone someday, but the people that I influence for Christ, that is the key. So focus on being thankful for people. And I give you several ideas about that. Number one, in your life, recognize the inherent value of the individual. Recognize the inherent value of the individual. This thinking is unique to Christianity. Because all of the world's religions, apart from Christianity, have viewed, and I will say the Judeo-Christian ethic, to include the Jewish folks who certainly were the foundation of this, but all of the rest of the world's religions have viewed people as expendable. In other words, people don't have that much value. It will not take you long if you read the writings of Muhammad and Islam to understand that Islam does not value the individual. In fact, in the religion of Islam, life is very, very cheap, very expendable. And all you have to do is turn on the morning news and see what's happening in Iraq and understand that everyone that blows himself up is a dedicated follower of the religion of Islam, and he has no respect for his own life nor for the lives of others. But Christianity is a religion that teaches us that there is inherent value in people. Beginning in the book of Genesis, and then these sentiments echoed in the New Testament. We are made in the image of God. Everyone in this room. That's a wonderful thing to comprehend. When God decided to create man, He said, let us, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let us make man in our own image. And in our likeness. And in the image of God created He man. That means that every human life is sacred. Because every human life is a representation of the image of God. I said every human life. This means, ladies and gentlemen, that people who are handicapped are a representation of the image of God. This means that folks that maybe handle or have struggles with mental handicaps or disabilities physically or mentally, they are made in the image of God. They are valuable. Those young people that are handicapped physically are of as much value as any one of us who does not have a physical handicap. Those who are handicapped mentally are of as much value as any one of us who does not have a mental handicap, because all of us are made in the image of God. Every one of us, in some way, is broken. We're all handicapped. We're all damaged goods. By the way, I think it was a Washington Post column this past week. A lady wrote a very good piece concerning her child that had been born with a serious handicap. The lady pointed out that in the tests that they give now to mothers that are pregnant in the early stages of pregnancy, that they can give a test, and by a genetic code found through this test, they can determine whether a child is going to have a certain disease. And if the child is going to have this certain disease, they tell the parents, they say, well, your child will be born with this birth defect or that birth defect or whatever. And they'll tell the parent that based upon the fact that this baby that is in the mom, this concepted child that is in the mom, based upon that fact that the parents can abort that baby to avoid having to have that baby and its intended handicaps. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an abomination before God. In the ancient cultures, when a child was born handicapped, the ancient heathen cultures, when a child was born handicapped or undesirable, the child would be born and then would be taken out to the mountainside somewhere and set out in the elements to die or to be attacked by scavenging animals. That is how they handled it. You say, preacher, that is barbaric. You mean a child, undesirable for some reason to his parents, would be taken out and exposed to the elements and to die. How barbaric is that? How barbaric is it when mothers find out that they may have a child with a particular, in their mind, defect, and then they kill that child in the womb? That is barbarism. The argument today is not just for the right to have an abortion, but it's for the right to choose what baby gets aborted. That is heathen. It is wrong. It is wicked. And it devalues all of human life. Recognize the inherent value of people. I thank God for every member of this church. Let me say this. I thank God for the members of this church that are part of our Sunshine class, our handicapped class. Those people bring something to this church that we would not have without them. They are made in the image of God. Every person in this room is damaged goods. The Bible says because of our sin, our fall, we are all damaged goods. But every person is of equal value before God. Never, never, never forget. This is unique to Christianity. Made in God's image. Recognize the inherent value of people. It means this, that Christ died for all people. Now please listen to me. That means that every group, every nationality, every color of the skin, those are all the people for whom Jesus died. There is no despised class in the Lord's eyes. There is no despised race or despised nationality. When Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, He hung there for me. I am German and Italian with a little bit of Finlander, that's reindeer blood, folks, thrown in for good measure. German and Italian, what a volatile combination. Dangerous. The Italians are losing their temper. The Germans are taking over the world. And it's a dangerous combination in anyone. That is my heritage. Christ died for the Germans. He died for the Italians. He died for the Portuguese. He died for the Africans. He died for the Chinese. He died for the Mexicans. Across the board, there is no group for whom Christ did not die. He died for all. And the fact that the Savior, the Son of God and God the Son, would go to Calvary's cross and shed His blood and die is absolute evidence of the inherent value of every individual. Recognize, as Paul did, the unique value of people. Jesus said this. He said, God the Father notices the sparrow when it falls. God the Father has the hairs on your head numbered. And some of you, by the way, the way you're losing them, the tally changes every day, every morning. Gotta update the record. He's got the hairs on your head numbered. He notices the sparrow when it falls. And then Jesus said this, ye are of more value than many sparrows. In every human life, there is inherent value. May I say something this morning? I thank God for the members of Faith Baptist Church. I thank God for every individual. And the Bible teaches us that every person has a part in this church. Every person has a function, and that function is important. Thank God for the individual. We recognize his inherent value. Paul also thanked God for their potential. Look at verse number 8. He said, I thank God, but if you look at verse number 8, here are the words, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, and here it is, for you all, for you all. He recognized the inherent value of people, but then he thanked God for their potential, not their perfection. Now think about this with me. Their potential, not their perfection. Notice those words, for you all. He said to the Roman Christians, he said, I thank God for all of you. In other words, there is no one who is excluded. Well, Pastor, certainly there were people in the congregations at Rome. Certainly there were people that were not as strong spiritually, and they were weak spiritually. And maybe there were even people in the church that were causing trouble, carnal Christians. He doesn't go into all that. But in every church, there are people at different levels. And yet Paul said, I thank God for you all. Not just the spiritual giants, but I thank God for every member of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's thanking God for potential, not perfection. If you're looking for people to surround yourself with that are perfect people or that are ideal people or people who have reached a particular level of life, you're going to miss the boat. Because the vast majority of us are still on that journey being made into the image of Christ. He thanked God for their potential. The Roman Christians were all at different levels. And yet Paul said, every one of you is someone for whom I am thankful. Let me say that as a pastor this morning. This message is more like a Sunday night message than Sunday morning because Pastor Lopez is preaching Sunday night. And so I thought I'd do this morning. Let me just say this as pastor. I thank God for you, for every person in this room. You are all at different levels spiritually. All of you. Everyone's a little bit different. Everyone has a different talent and ability. May I say this? Every person in this room has a different weakness, including your pastor. I thank God for you all, not your perfection. May I say this? I thank God that you do not expect perfection out of me. You would be wholly disappointed. I'm a very imperfect person. I make mistakes all the time. I thank God for your potential. I'm not worried about the issue of perfection. Let me put it this way. I see, and I need to see in every person that I meet, their possibilities, not their problems. You have a preacher who believes in the ability of Christ to change people. I believe that firmly. I've seen Jesus Christ in my own life change things and transform things. And I'm still in that process of change, as are you. And I've seen dramatic things. I've seen conversions and people saved where dramatic changes have taken place in their life. And he says, well, Pastor, they're not quite, so-and-so is not quite at the level they need to be. Hey, don't worry about it. Love them anyway. You love people for their potential, not for their perfection. If my love were reserved for only the perfect people, then my love would have no outlet in this world. But my love should be given to people seeing their potential, looking beyond their fault, looking beyond their problem, and saying, thank God, God brought that person into my life, and what potential I see there. That's why, by the way, this preacher is 150% in favor of the young people, the teenagers in the church. Someone said, oh, Pastor, the teenagers, sometimes they're obnoxious. Sometimes they are. And by the way, you were too. You were too as a teen. Ah, Pastor, those teenagers, sometimes they messed up. You did too as a teen. You know what? When I look at those kids, there's no perfection in the bunch. Good night, they sit right on the front row. I can see that. But you know what I see? I see in our young people potential beyond your wildest imagination. And I thank God for the potential. I'm not, as a pastor, searching for perfect people. Our church is open to anyone who wants to grow in Christ, has trusted Christ as Savior, desires to follow Him and grow. The doors of this place are open, and I don't care about your background. I don't care about your past. I don't care about what you look like when you come through the doors. All I care is that there is potential for Jesus Christ. And I thank God for your potential. Say, the next time you're interested in criticizing somebody else, why don't you thank God for the potential that that person has that will change your way of viewing people? Thank God for their potential. Thank God that you could be used to help somebody. Do you know what? You say, preacher, well, I just want to hang around the people that are eminently successful.
you're going to have a small crowd of friends. You know what I found out? That people that fail at someone who need a little help and a little boost and a little encouragement, when God does the work in their lives, those are the people your heart will thrill with and be thankful for. There is no exclusion with Jesus Christ. Thank God for one's potential, not their perfection. Quickly, number three. Paul was able to say, I thank God for you all, and here's why. Because he viewed all relationships as divine appointments from God. Every relationship in life is a divine appointment. Let me put it this way. It is God and not chance that has brought us together today. Now, hear me. Every person in this room came here, probably, unless you drove, you know, some of you drove together. But you came here in a different conveyance. Some of the folks over here rode the bus from over at the hearth. And some of the folks here drove cars. And we have a whole bunch of people that came in on church buses this morning. All of us got here different ways. But you know what? We are here by divine appointment. Now hear me. Your preacher believes this. The fact that this audience, 400 plus people I'm sure this morning, the fact that this audience and each individual is here is a divine appointment by God. Nobody walked through these doors on accident. Nobody is hearing this message this morning by happenstance. It is a divine appointment by God. Now, bring this down smaller into your own life. That means that every person that God brings across your path is there by a divine appointment. And if you start looking at that rather than them being here by chance, or rather than looking at people, and follow me, as being a bother. Ooh, now we're getting somewhere. If you look at every individual that comes by your way as a divine appointment from God, it'll change your outlook and you will thank God for them because it is God bringing into your path an opportunity to serve someone that you would not have had otherwise. And we become so busy and involved, whether it be at work, sometimes it's even at church or social function, we become so busy and involved that we do not see the people around us. And sometimes people even become to us a bother. Paul said, I thank God for you all because he viewed them all as a divine appointment. I thank God. He wasn't thanking chance. He wasn't thanking some moving of happenstance or just a circumstance of life. But he says, it is God that has put me in contact with you Roman Christians. And the relationship I have, though at this point it was by letter, the relationship that I have with you Roman Christians is something that is a divine appointment by God. It means that the new guy who comes to work at the same place you work, and he comes into your office or he comes to your place on the assembly line, that individual has been appointed there by God. Thank God for him. Now minister to him. It means when new members come into the church or new families come, every visitor, you're here this morning by divine appointment of God. Thank God for you. And it means that everyone is important. If you'll view relationships as providential, as divine appointments, it will open for you a tremendous platform of ministry. By the way, your children, mom and dad, have been given you by divine appointment. That is a sacred, sacred trust. It is not merely the chance of biology that has brought your children. But it is God Himself using biological methods, bringing those children into this world. They are uniquely gifted with their personalities. Oh, preacher, my kids are driving me nuts! They will if you don't view them as a divine appointment. Their strengths are given to you by divine appointment. Their weaknesses and imperfections are yours to hone and to correct as you can by divine appointment. When Paul said, I thank God for you, it meant that Paul recognized that it was the very hand of God that had brought these people into his life, that God was in it, not just chance. Mom and Dad, recognize, please, that parenting is a sacred responsibility for which we should give thanks, understanding that the children we have are sent from God. A mother said one time, Pastor, I wish my son was smart enough to get decent grades. Probably he is. But even if he isn't, your son is your divine appointment by God. Understand that. Don't wish for something else. Your circle of friends and associates, your co-workers, are divinely appointed by God. And rather than wish for something else, we ought to, with the Apostle Paul, say, I thank God for you. When you learn to thank God, you say, preacher, how could I thank God for so-and-so? Why? He grates on my nerves. There are people that it is more difficult to thank God for than others. But if we thank God for them and do so consistently, guess whose heart's going to change? Right here is going to be the change. Viewing people as a providential appointment. But I take this very seriously. 7.5, going on now 8 years ago, I felt the definite call to Faith Baptist Church of Avon to be your pastor. I didn't know you folks back then. Not at all. I felt that definite call. With every ensuing year, I sense more acutely that God has placed me in this pulpit, in this church, providentially. That this is His choice and that my relationship with you as a people is no accident, but it is by divine choice. And let me say this morning, I thank God for you. I was talking to a preacher a week or so ago. He said, Brother Monty, how's it going? I said, it's going better than anything I could ever imagine out at Faith Baptist. I said, those people could really do something if they had a preacher that was any account. I mean, they'd take off if they had a better preacher. But I said, things are going great down at Faith Baptist. And I said this, I am happier today than I was 7.5 years ago when I came. I am more excited today than I was 7.5 years ago when I came. I have more plans and dreams and desires and ambitions today than I had 7.5 years ago when I came. And I said, I thank God for my people. This is a providential, divinely appointed relationship. View it that way and it will help you to thank God. Let me say this. Relationships for which we thank God are often deepened through personal contact. Look at verses 10 and 11 very quickly. Verses 10 and 11. Paul said this. He said, I thank God for you. And he said, I'm praying for you. And here's my prayer. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. In other words, he said this. He said, God has providentially put us together. I thank God for all of you, for your potential, for what God's doing there. I understand there's an inherent value in people, but he said, now that I'm thanking God for you, he said, I want to deepen that relationship through personal contact. Now, I want everybody to listen carefully, please. I hope you thank God for the people He's brought into your life. Man, I thank God for my parents, for my mother and her steadfastness and her good testimony. I thank God for that. I thank God for the people He's brought providentially into my life. When He brings someone into my life, I can grow even more thankful if I deepen my relationship with that person through personal contact. Now, I want you to hear me, please. There is something in my mind inherently wrong with somebody who is a loner, a complete and total loner, and who doesn't mind it. Pastor, I tried to make some friends, but they never turn out the way they should. I had a man say this to me one time. He said, Pastor, I came to church and nobody shook my hand. You got a hand, buddy? I'm serious here. Look at your hand. If you want to shake hands with somebody, then shake theirs. Now, if you tell me, Pastor, I came to church and I tried to shake hands and nobody would do it. Like, let's see, here's David Kapp right down here on the front. Look at how get a handhold on there. He doesn't shake like a dead fish. Look at that, I shook his hand. Jim Kowalik shook his hand. Washes. Tim Russell shook his hand. Oh, here's James Kowalik, fresh back from the Navy. Look at that. That's a nice outfit, buddy. It looks comfortable, but you told me earlier it wasn't. Look at this. Look at this. I want you to see something. I shook hands with 6 people in this church. Now follow me on this. My relationship is deeper with them because of personal contact. Now watch. I thank God for people. And I'm able to thank God for people because my personal contact with people causes me to love them more. Does everybody see what I'm talking about? You will not have a love and a thankfulness for people unless you have a personal contact with them. Oh, well, Pastor, I'm just not that way. I don't have any friends. Do you know that the Bible gives us the cure for the words, I don't have any friends? Here it is. In order to have friends, the Bible says, a man must show himself friendly. It doesn't say anything about the prospective friend. It doesn't say, well, go find a person that's really outgoing and upbeat and seems to like people and try to make friends with that. It says, no. It says, the thing is, if you want to be friends with someone, you walk up to them, you shake their hand, and you show yourself friendly through personal contact. What Paul was saying is this, I thank God for you all. Now, I want to thank God for you more by having personal contact, by going to Rome, by meeting you, by embracing you, by seeing you face to face. That makes all the difference in the world. You want to talk about getting a burden for people? Then you love them face to face. You initiate, there's a word for you, initiate personal contact, and your whole outlook on people will change. Paul thanked God because he intended to deepen that relationship through personal contact. And then lastly, let me say this. In relationships, Paul thanked God for people because he made spiritual matters his central concern. In verse number 9, he says that I prayed for you all. In verse number 11, he says, I'm putting forth effort. He says, I long to see you. Why? That I may impart unto you what? Some spiritual gift. In verse number 13, he says, I desire that fruit would abound. Here's the key. Paul thanked God for them because of a deep and abiding concern for their spiritual life. Now I want everybody to look this way. If you're a Christian here this morning, there are people that you rub shoulders with, and maybe you've never even thought much about them. You would thank God for them if you became concerned over their spiritual condition. Isn't it something how we can walk through our lives having very little concern? I mean, just for people that are just around us, that we're brushing shoulders with. This week, we had a man come to the church who needed to take care of some community service work. He didn't speak English. That was not a problem. Just barely. Spoke just a little bit of English. That was not a problem. Because he spoke Spanish, guess what we have? We have Spanish tracts. Now, I'll tell you what. I do not speak Spanish. Si habla español. I don't speak it. Well, taco, burrito, enchilada. You know, I speak enough Spanish to get along, okay? You know, I could go to Mexico and I don't think I'd lose any weight, okay? That's about where I am with my Spanish. I don't speak any Spanish, but this man came into our church and he was helping with some things around here. He had to do that. And though I don't speak Spanish, we thank God we have God's Simple Plan of Salvation tracts in Spanish. I was able to hand him a tract and try to explain to him. I wouldn't read it to him because I mispronounced it all, but tried to explain to him about Christ. Let me just say this. Here's someone you just meet in passing, but you'll get a burden for them if your concern is spiritual, and you'll come to thank God for them. On Thursday, we're all going to have, most of us probably, we'll have a big feast of some sort. We'll enjoy fellowship, and we will list a whole bunch of things that we're thankful for. In our minds, probably, we might not write it down. Are you thankful for people? Have you developed the thankfulness that Paul had for people? People for whom Christ died. For a Christian, thanking God for people and serving them is something inextricably joined together. Let's follow Paul's example. I thank God for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that these thoughts would help us this morning. Lord, as we focused on one area of thankfulness, there are so many things for which we can give thanks. But Father, today let us be thankful for the people that you've brought into our lives. Thankful for our husband, our wife, our children. Thankful, Lord, for people that serve us and people whom we serve. Thankful, Lord, for brothers and sisters. Thankful for the ones that are joyful and happy and easygoing. Thankful also for the ones that are a bit spiny at times. I pray, Lord, that You'd make us a people burdened about what only is eternal, the souls of men. And Father, for any lost and without Christ, help them to trust Him today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please.